I will read for the beginning of this sermon from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4, the first 11 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these times will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. This portion of the Bible is familiar to us. It talks about temptations in which Jesus had, that Satan had tempted Jesus with. Jesus won over these traps that the devil set him and these temptations. What is this Satan? Here, Jesus used the word Satan when he asked the devil to leave away. In the beginning, languages in Hebrew and Greek, the devil is pictured with names that cause trouble, that lie, that bring different mindedness, controversy, sometimes even the prosecutor. He is God's adversary, opponent, whom God cast out from his presence. Enemy of the soul, as he is also called, rebelled against God. He tries to lead humanity, to lead people away from God. Last year in the news, many different things were talked about wars. Even here in Finland, we have read newspaper headings of terrible occurrences, terrible things done. In war, there is an enemy. And we also said that the devil is called an enemy, the enemy of our soul. He is also a tempter, as he is named here in this portion of the Bible. The devil tempted Jesus in the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, that our Savior has taught us. There is the words, seek us not into temptation, lead us not into temptation. Luther teaches that God does not tempt anyone, but we ask for protection and guidance in this, so that the devil or the world will not deceive us, lead us into wrong faith, into hopelessness, into false belief, despair, or any other great shame and evil. We still ask that we may overcome them. It is also spoken of a triune enemy. We are at war against the enemy of the soul, against our own flesh. We have learned this. How is this devil? How does he work? In the work I did before, as a principal of the Opisto, I came before questions that the young ones had, words asking for guidance, that they were frightened that if they should someday have to meet the devil. When we have been with children on vacation in Lapland, we have listened during the car trips to stories or books on tape. Samuli Paulaharja's novel, a radio play, The Night Side of the Fells. He very skillfully pictures these happenings, and some of them are very frightening pictures of the enemy of the soul. I have tried to encourage and comfort these young ones that the devil will not come to us in such a frightening way as he is pictured in art pictures as a horned creature wielding a pitchfork or whatever it is, some kind of 3-pound implement in its claw. But just think, if he would come to us in that, looking like that, and asking us, are you going to go with me? No one would wish to go with that kind of a creature anywhere. He doesn't wish to scare us away. He tries to tempt us, to make us fall into error. What kind is he, and should we fear him? Peter warns about this in his letter. Keep your minds clear and stay watchful. Your opponent, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion. Peter did not say that we should fear him. Jesus again teaches. Before the coming of the end of the world, he says, fear not. And the messages of the devil during Christmas and at the grave during Easter, there was fear not. We do not need to fear. The enemy of the soul is an enemy of the soul, is deceitful and treacherous and dangerous. This is what Jesus wished to show us. Also, the first portion of the Bible which speaks about Adam and Eve falling into sin. The biblical accounts of Jesus' temptation and falls and the fall into sin. There are not too many portions in the Bible that picture this. In the first book of Moses, how the snake tempted the first human pair into sin. That is a good picture of how the enemy of the soul works. There are many children here at summer services. Also here in this tent, lift up your hand if you have seen a snake. Quite many of you have seen a snake. Quite many hands were raised. What kind of a animal is that snake? It can be fearful, but it is also hard to see. When it lays on the ground, and even though it moves, it can be hard to see. It has such protective colors on it, at least here in Finland. I have sometimes said that it is as if the snake slithered into paradise, and he slithers into our thoughts and begins to whisper in the same way as he whispered to Eva, to Eve. It casts doubts on God's word and his advice and instructions that protect our lives. The enemy of the soul turns evil into good and good into evil. To Eve, the snake began to speak with these words. Has God truly said these words that you must not eat of any of that tree? The snake was quite deceitful and also lied. The enemy of the soul knows how the matters are, and he knows the word of God, as these temptations of Jesus showed. He knows how to use them against man. This question to Eve was provocative, was shocking. So she could not stop answering and begin to speak with the enemy of the soul, the snake. And isn't the question of the snake so familiar in our time? In the media, many times it is written of believers from that view, that what all is denied unto us, what all is it that we cannot do? We can also sometimes with other people, we can hear them asking of these matters from us. And that is very shocking questions, that why can't you do this or why can't you do that? And sometimes it is in a mocking tone, that can you not have any fun? The question of the enemy of the soul is familiar also in our own minds when he distresses us, oppresses us. Many times he shows the flock of the children of God to be old-fashioned and narrow-minded. He may try to present us such an utterly impossible situation. This week I read an article about summer services that the believers teach that homo is sin. That's not what we teach. No characteristic in itself is sin. No human trait, but what we do with it, that's what matters. That's what determines what's right and wrong. We have a responsibility for our own actions. And this question that did God truly say this, that is very familiar to us. Temptations and traps that the enemy of the soul set for Jesus shows us that he knows our weaknesses very well. He knows exactly where to strike. It is said of Jesus that after his spirit led him into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days, and then the enemy of the soul came to say unto the hungry Jesus that if you are the Son of God, then change these stones into bread, if you are truly the Son of God. Is this familiar to us, this thought? Isn't it familiar that am I a true believer? Am I believing in the right way? He wishes to get us to doubt our faith and the care of God. This first temptation that the enemy of the soul tempted Jesus with, it is called the temptation of bread. It is a familiar temptation even in this time. One may be worried about how we are going to make ends meet. That is God going to take care of us? We heard through our brother before us that the major question is that do we even have enough money to attend the summer services? The enemy of the soul wishes to distress us in many different ways, to bring cares, to bring, take our trust away in the care of God. The answer that Jesus gave unto the tempter is very comforting to all these traps that the enemy of the soul wrote, sit. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is important for us to hear and see, to read the word of God, to go and listen when it is explained, to take these promises into our hearts, to believe in them. It gives us strength in the midst of temptations, helps us on our way. Take the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are much more worthy of than they are. Jesus does not mean that do we not need these, this temporal food, this way of life. He knows all our cares, all our needs, and he wishes to help in the midst of them. He reminds us of what's the most important of all. So do not worry what we will eat today, or what we will drink, or what you shall wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be given unto you. We can have trust even in our weaknesses, that the Heavenly Father will take care of us on our road of faith. He will feed us with his word. When Eve answered to the snake that it is not so, only the tree in the middle of paradise, God has asked us not to eat, that we might die. The snake says, no, you will not die. But God knows that as soon as you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God. And you will know all that is good and evil. The enemy of the soul turns things the other way. He tries to make God as the liar and as someone who wishes bad things unto us. It has been said that the enemy of the soul has lied from the beginning. And to Eve, it began to look as if the fruit from the forbidden tree were the best of all. And all of God's warnings and advice was forgotten. And then Eve takes that fruit and gives it also to Adam, tempts Adam into eating of this forbidden fruit. Isn't that familiar to us today in this time, dear children of God? Isn't it familiar to us also, this phenomenon, that when we do something, wait a moment so the microphone can be fixed. Now we shall continue. Isn't it a familiar phenomenon that when we do something together, that the responsibility seems to be spread out, that if he can do something, why can't I? There are many good aspects to working together and take these summer services. For example, we could not have these if we do not all work together. They couldn't have been organized otherwise. Together, we can do many good things, but sometimes the pressure of the group can make us do some things that are not good for us, some matters that we do not even wish to do. Did it not happen that Eve said that even if Adam eats of the same fruit of the same tree, that her sin would be a little bit smaller? And did Adam think that since Eve ate, then why can't I also? Or I do not feel like denying it because Eve offers it to me. And when the sin came out, Eve blamed the snake and Adam blamed Eve. We always seek for someone to blame or other circumstances. That is why I fell. But Adam and Eve were living in plentiness in paradise. They could eat of every other tree except the forbidden tree, and they still fell. But Jesus, who had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he became tempted with bread, Jesus won a victory over this temptation. People are always responsible for their own actions. The devil tried to tempt Jesus to take the path of indifference. It is sometimes said that one can stray to the right or left. One can veer toward permissiveness of sin or onto the path of righteousness. The enemy tried to get Jesus to fall into this trap and go onto this path of indifference. When he placed him, took him to the top of the temple and said, "Cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." People who are not believing are may have been called carefree. That doesn't mean that they didn't have any sorrows, but they were living in this kind of misguided, carefree attitude. Sometimes I've used thin ice as an example. Even though we know it is thin ice, we may put ourselves in danger and go on the thin ice. We should not go into different situations that lead us into danger. We cannot afford this kind of carelessness. What is this temptation? What could it be in this time of life? Could it be a whisper while on the phone, that listen to it anyway, look at it anyway? Nobody can see, nobody knows, nobody cares. Every one of us have our own temptations to fall into this wrong carefreeness. Every one of us fall into sin, but we should not begin to explain sin away. Because we cannot. succeed in our endeavor, because it would be easier. We do not have to explain these things. We have a danger of going into the path of spiritual pride, the path of self-righteousness, where we make our own rules. We don't need the grace anymore. When we explain in a way, it is easier to believe. We can start to feel this way. And then you are able to live according to those rules. Then our faith narrows down, following this, this path of self-righteousness. We try to earn grace or eternal life according to certain rules. Apostle John writes that if we claim we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Jesus replied to the tempter, "Do not tempt the Lord thy God." We cannot afford to go take the path of permissiveness towards sin, where we cease to care about sin, nor on the path of righteousness. As the final temptation to Jesus, he took Jesus onto a high mountain, showed him all of the kingdom. "If you bow to me, I will give you all this." He lied to Eve. He lied to Jesus. He lies to us. He gives promises that he will not keep. He'll give 9 good things, and the 10th is very beautiful if we bow down to him. When we give up faith, or accept that sin, that we do not care about the counsel of God's word, how easy that life would be. The promises of the enemy of the soul are empty and full of ash. He promises freedom, but it is actually falling into sin. The bondage of sin. He promises joy and pleasure, the kind that brings us sorrow and grief. He promises peace that is not true peace. It brings us insecurity. Eve was promised that she would become as God. We too may be tempted by an enticement and set out on a path of human wisdom. This faith may seem so foolish, and there should be some way that I can be accepted by the world or to those people who live in sin, or my own reputation can become an obstacle to faith. These verses of Jesus' temptations and trials, the fall of Adam and Eve, they are very human and relatable. We often fall into sins and temptation. We are tried as Adam and Eve. We also fall into sin as Adam and Eve, and we act against God's will. We may wonder that would one of us fare better than Adam and Eve in the Garden of Paradise? The Pharisees once brought Jesus before them. a woman who was caught in adultery and asked Jesus to pass judgment upon her, but Jesus did not fall into the Pharisees' trap. He said unto them, let one of you who has not sinned cast the first stone. No stones were thrown. We are all sinners. And even those Pharisees had to admit that in their hearts. In this time, many may think that it doesn't matter about sin. We can laugh about it. We can become careless, become indifferent to the whole word. But it is a question of sin, a very serious matter, just as it always has been. Paul wrote to the Romans, the wage of sin is death. As I said, sin does not belong into the world that has gone by. Touching on sexual matters, sexuality, or today, matters that are right and wrong, matters of our air, our atmosphere, many things that people keep as important and then acting wrong against them, that is sin to those people. It is something that breaks the connection between people. The wage of sin is death, as Paul wrote. The seriousness of sin has not gone away. It doesn't mean that if we sin, that we shall die right away, a temporal death, but that sin separates us from God. And before long, if we are indifferent to the words of advice, we break against the will of God. We sin, we do not correct matters, then slowly our heart breaks away from God and comes a spiritual death. Our holy God today hates sin, but this matter, but the reminder that Paul gave to the Galatians, do not deceive yourselves. God does not let himself be deceived. That what man sows, he shall also reap. Even though Jesus did not judge this sinful woman, he did not accept sin. He said, go and sin no more. Even though God hates sin, he loves the sinner. And he understands us. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses, even as the enemy of the soul knows. But the enemy of the soul wishes to lose us, to tempt us away. But we have the Savior in the Son of the Lord God, and he wishes to have mercy upon us. Our high priest, if anyone can understand us, that the Son was tempted, but he did not fall into sin. This is the difference between Adam and Eve and Jesus. Jesus did not fall into the traps of the enemy of the soul. He did not sin. Even though the enemy of the soul tempted him very much, he tried to lose him and to get Jesus to fall into sin. Sometimes I have heard such a saying that the only matter that we cannot complain of the devil is that he is very hard, works very hard to try to deceive us. And when he writes of these temptations, tempted, I see Jesus in all ways, and for a while the devil left him in peace. And sometimes the Heavenly Father gives us moments of peace where it is not so narrow. Here at summer services, many can experience this. But he finds his road here also. Today I wondered, as we came here, and I put the front tent up, and it went so splendidly. In years before, many times I have tried to put the tent up and have been very tried. And the enemy of the soul had been helping. There was corruption in the air. But this year, it worked very well. In the beginning, I spoke of how often it is said that we have a war against a triune enemy. In the Song of Zion, 212, they wish to oppress you and to make you fall away from the way of road of life. We do not have war against any man, not even those who seem to attack us, who hate us. We are not at war against such people. Our duty is, with love, to approach them, and if possible, to invite them into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of peace. We are no better than any other person. We do not sin any less. This is very good for us to always remember that we are always believing by grace, through grace. We are not better than anyone else. No one is able to do what Jesus did for us. And our hope is not in that we win over victories over the enemy of the soul, do not fall into temptations. Our faith is based on that true matter, that we are sinful. We humble ourselves before this matter. We feel that we need this grace of God so that we may be saved. In humbleness in this time, humbleness is not well liked. Everyone should be very prideful. Humbleness belongs with sin into the old world. But we need this humbleness. Jacob writes in his letter, but greater grace is that what he gives. God is against the prideful, but to the humble he gives grace. Become under God, and it will not oppress you. Sisters and brothers, this grace is offered today for everyone. To you, traveler on the road to heaven, who feel that the enemy of the soul has been close to you, has been trying to make you lose, lead you astray. From the heart of the Heavenly Father, you can hear those the best greetings you can, as you are. Believe at this moment all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. You can remain comforted and blessed. Remain believing. It doesn't pay to listen to the sermon of the devil, to the blame, that you will not make it to the end. You are a poor believer. No, our strength is not much. But our Savior has won against the enemy. He guides us. He carries us. He will one day take us home when we believe and are satisfied with his grace.
believe all sins and trials and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and precious blood, all sins are forgiven. Being good care, beloved brothers and sisters, we have a good God who wishes to give us his kingdom. And with that grace, I wish to call you, you who feel that you have been lost by the enemy of the soul. You have fallen away from the way to heaven. God calls you with his grace and his love to come back. Humble your heart to believe and to trust. The promises of God are much stronger than the promises of the enemy of the soul, which are based on lies. God gives that what he promises. And at this moment, he promises that you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood forgiven. And when you believe in this way, you can remain in good care. And one day you will reach our heavenly home where the enemy of the soul has no power and there is no sin. I also feel myself in many doubts, many errors. Can I ask, can I believe my own sins and doubts and weaknesses forgiven? In Jesus' name and precious blood, I wish to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.